What's going on up there in Canada?
Nobody knows.
What's there to do in Canada?
Nobody knows.
What kind of folks live in Canada?
Nobody
what kind
knows.
Of animals and plants they got? Do they eat at similar
nobody
restaurants?
Knows.
Are all their cops the Mountie cops? Are there any good vacation
nobody
spots?
Knows.
For these and other questions, tune in to John and Stefan's Canadian Education Program for Foreign Podcasters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another bonus edition of Blocked Party. This is the Canadian Education Program for Foreign Podcasters, number 6. It's a clunky title, but I love saying it every time. I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And we are thrilled. We've got one of our favorites on the show with us this week. I think this may give you the record for most appearances on this show, or at least tie you for the record. But she is someone you may know from her regular podcast, weekly podcast, the Bechdel Cast, or from her short series, the ACK Cast and the Lolita Cast, and my year in Mensa. And I know it's not called the Lolita Cast, but I blanked on the name. Anyway, Jamie Loftus is here. Hi, Jamie.
Close enough. Close enough. Hi, guys. What's up?
Hey.
How's it going?
Yeah, how's it going?
I'm good. Who am I tied with? I'll get them.
I think
Jesse
Farrar.
Yeah, I think it's you and Jesse.
Yeah.
I could beat Jesse in a fight.
I think you definitely could.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Although he'll be on
if
the
it
live
came
show.
Down to it.
I think Jamie might be in the lead now because Jamie's done 2 regular.
Yeah.
4 D&D.
And this bonus.
And 2 bonus. She did the cameo bonus with us and this one. So Jamie's at 8.
Right.
So Jamie's at 8.
Okay.
And I think Jesse's only at 6 or 7.
Wow.
So Jamie, I do think Jamie has.
That's honestly pathetic.
That you've been on this show 8 times?
No, that Jesse's only been on 6 or 7.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, super pathetic. Yeah, he's a big time loser.
Yeah, for sure.
But we are thrilled to have you back. We're so glad. We're always glad when you're here. What was the Lolita podcast called? So I get it right next time.
It was called Lolita Podcast.
Oh, okay.
You got it right.
Okay. I just said the Lolita Cast. I guess I felt like I was like fucked up. And anyway, good. I'm glad. Okay. I'm glad I got it right.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, I'm glad you agreed to come on the show because you're like famous now. You've been in the New York Times and everything. You're just, you're like a podcast maven now. And we're still just like 2 fucking idiots in my 2-bedroom apartment doing this thing.
That's not true, John. My brother slid into your DMs to tell you that. He loves the show.
He did. He
no
did.
One's brother DMs me.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, I was telling you that before we recorded. Your brother Ben started following me on Instagram, and I just saw Ben Loftus, and I was like, oh, I wonder if he's related to Jamie. And then he had posted an Instagram story because I think it was right around the time that you were seeing him this summer or whatever. And I was like, oh, it is Jamie's brother. Cool. And then, and then he just like slid into my DMs to be like, hey man, just wanted to let you know, I love Block Party. And I was like, that's very nice. Thank you. Do you think he got into it because of your appearances on it? Like, do you think that's what hipped him to it?
I don't know. It's hard for me to know how much, like my brother doesn't tell me how much he interacts with what I do. I would guess if I know him, he has listened to many episodes of the show, but none of the ones that I'm on.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a trigger for my family.
Well, cause I was just going to say, like, I could see it being a situation where he does listen to podcasts you guest on, but he doesn't tell you that he does that.
I don't know. That would be nice. That would be a nice surprise. I don't know.
I'm sure we'll hear something after this one. Given that we've been talking about
it. Yeah. Hopefully he now will re-slide into my DMs and give me the goods.
Yeah.
Give me the goods. But
hey,
no, it's
man,
nice
me again. still loving the show.
Yeah, I feel like we just have to corner the market on the Loftus family
because
you said he's starting to get into comedy, so maybe we should have him on the show and just kind of see what's going on.
Yeah,
have my dad on. I was talking to my dad this morning and I was telling him that I was coming on the show today because he's a hockey writer, and I was like, I think you would do like. You would do better than me at what I'm doing today because I feel like he's Canada adjacent.
Yeah
as a hockey writer, for sure.
For sure.
I'm taking my dad to a hockey game tonight. Because tickets are
Canadian of you.
Tickets are so cheap up here now because the Canucks are so bad and have been for so long.
And have a lot of fans that don't have the vaccine.
Yeah, that too, probably. Yeah. But we're sitting like third row right behind the net. And the tickets were $70 each. Like
that's nuts. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So it'll be good. I mean, they're probably gonna lose, but whatever. It's still fun to go to a hockey game when you're sitting that close too. So
Yeah,
I don't give a shit if people win or lose. I'm there to like see the Zamboni and like eat nachos out of a big old cup.
Now this, so we're skipping ahead a little bit here, but the whole time I was thinking, like when we were watching the episode we're going to talk about of the show we're going to talk about, there was no Zamboni during the big game.
There was no Zamboni.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting choice, especially because the family at the end comments on how rough the ice is, which could have been
played a role in the game potentially. But John, do you want to
so we can set it up. So this is so Jamie watched with us the Raccoons on Ice, which aired on CBC. And so for those of you who are not Canadian and not familiar with the Raccoons, or if you're Canadian and not familiar with the Raccoons, which is very possible,
also
because
possible.
My fiance Becca had no clue what I was talking about when I said the Raccoons. The Raccoons were an animated troop. They're not really a family of raccoons. They're like an animated...
they're like roommates.
Yeah, that's. We'll get into that. But so the Raccoons, they ran four specials. And so the,
were they Christmas specials usually? Or?
So I don't know. I couldn't really find any information. This one initially aired on December 20th, 1981.
Okay.
So this one definitely Christmas. Okay. And I remember that when I was a kid, that around Christmas time, this would get aired, you know, it was very much a Christmassy type thing, even though the episode itself isn't Christmas per se.
It's winter.
It's winter. It's hockey. It's, you know, it's Christmassy. So they ran four animated specials, one per year for 4 years from 1981 to 1984. And then in 1985, they made it a fully syndicated animated television show that aired weekly. And that ran for 5 seasons. And that was also on CBC. So it ran from 1985 to 1991. Also on CBC, but it also aired on Disney Channel in the United States. So it is a Canadian program, but Disney Channel did pick it up. Although that's Disney Channel in the 80s, so you know, might have been a bit of a simpler place.
And I remember watching it in the 90s occasionally, and I feel like it was either on Teletoon or like the Family Channel or something.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it. It was, you know,
it's just like you know, it's like your standard cartoon.
It had a very
whatever.
Good pro environment message.
Yeah, that's
that was
kind of
the
main
ongoing
thing of the show.
Yeah.
So
really? Oh, I liked that about this special. Yeah, it was anti-land developer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it does maintain that throughout the show. And we'll get more into that. Before we get fully into the Raccoons on Ice, Jamie, tell us a little bit about your experience with Canada. You've already said your dad was a hockey writer. So do you feel like, have you been to Canada? Do you feel sort of a tie to Canada because your dad wrote about, you know, the sport we care a lot about? Tell me a little bit about your history with our country in general.
I've only been to Canada one time. I went to Montreal for a comedy festival in 2013, and I had a good time. I got so lost, and I don't remember much about it because I was like 20 and very drunk the entire time.
Yep.
But
that sounds like just for laughs.
Sure,
yeah.
It wasn't even just for laughs. It was like Montreal Sketch Festival.
Oh,
it was like
okay.
a tiny festival.
Yep.
That I was blackout drunk the entire time for. Took a bus, had a great time. But that's the only, weirdly, that's the only time I've been. But my dad has been a hockey writer for like longer than my entire life, and he's been touting the benefits of Canada our whole lives, where he's like, Canadian teams are better. Like he went to Canada all the time because he would travel with the Bruins. So we had a lot of Canadian items. We had like Canadian postcards at our house, just like stuck to the wall. And I'm like, yeah, my dad went to Ontario, and he said it was so cold. Like, it was, I don't know.
That rocks.
I think I bragged about my proximity to Canada, but I have spent basically no time there at all. But I appreciate your culture. I think it's pretty great. And there's a lot of great comedians from Canada too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. John and I were talking about, I mean, you know, we're doing the quiz at the end of the episode, and we were both thinking, like, you might do the best out of,
yeah, just from proximity of your dad, like talking about Canada and everything. Yeah. I think it's very possible.
And it's a pretty low bar to clear as well.
True. But a very low bar. Yeah.
And you have four questions, right?
Through six episodes. No, less.
Not even. Yeah.
Less. It's points based.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's points based. So four points is the score you need to beat, which you could theoretically pass by getting two questions right. So. Yeah, so you'll be I think you got a good shot, Jamie, for sure. Now, it is also interesting to me because I feel like I think we maybe had one other guest on this episode type where their only Canadian experience was Montreal, and to me Montreal doesn't feel all that Canadian.
It's French
per
Canada.
Se.
It's like a different thing.
It's a different experience, yeah. I would say. Like, I've been to Montreal a few times. I went there on a class trip, and then I've also been to Just for Laughs a couple times. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm not that guy that's like, oh, Quebec isn't Canada. Like, obviously it is, but as far as I think what people think of like as the quintessential Canadian experience, I don't know that you would like fully get in Montreal necessarily. Do you agree with that, Stefan?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like Toronto, maybe. There.
I've been to Quebec City. I've never been to Montreal, actually.
Yeah.
Quebec City is like even Frencher.
Yeah,
obviously.
much more French than Montreal.
And it's a very, very old city.
Yes.
It's the oldest city in Canada.
Yeah, it looks like. It's very European,
yes,
Quebec City.
Very European. I mean, I think Quebec in general feels more European as well.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, I like the vibe, but it's different from the rest of Canada, for sure.
It's different.
But then also, like, BC is very different from Ontario.
For sure.
You know? Yeah. This is more Cascadia.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Vancouver and BC, that's a lot closer to like Seattle and like Portland and like that area than like the rest of Canada at all. So like, I think when you're thinking of the cliched stereotypical Canadian experience, it's probably like Toronto.
Yeah, I think Toronto. And then I also would say like probably like, I mean,
the prairies,
what people think is quintessentially Canadian, you probably get more in like Regina or Saskatoon or Winnipeg. If you're looking for the like, oh, fucking hell yeah, bud. Like those kind of people.
Yeah.
That's where
my dad was
be.
Obsessed with Winnipeg. He was all like, he loved Winnipeg. This is bad. In Canada, where's the place where there's tunnels for when it gets too cold?
That's quite a few
of the cities, but Winnipeg, yes.
Oh, okay.
Winnipeg has tunnels underneath the city.
But Toronto does too, don't they?
Toronto does too, but it's not really because of the cold. I think it's just more of a convenience thing.
Okay.
Winnipeg, it's like, no, nah, it's really fucking cold here.
Okay. I would hear about those tunnels. I don't know. Also, I'm realizing all of my favorite teen TV was from Canada too.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Degrassi was a big one, but there were two other teen shows that were like syndicated by Nickelodeon. One was called Radio Free Roscoe.
A
bunch of scrappy Canadian teens that started a radio station.
Yeah.
I loved that show. And then there was another one called Instant Star about a different Canadian teen who wins a like talent contest and falls in love with every boy.
I don't think I know.
I don't know
Instant
if I know
Star.
That one. I definitely don't know Radio Free Roscoe.
Yeah,
I know
for sure. For sure. Was Instant Star a cartoon or live action?
It was live action.
Okay.
It was a very, very moody. It like starred a girl who I think has like disappeared, but she died in a really interesting way in a Final Destination movie. I think that's how she leveraged her Instant Star fame.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
It aired from 04 to 08. Starred, Alex Johnson, but it's spelled with a Z.
Wait, where's the Z?
Yeah.
At the end. Alexz.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I've never seen.
It's like an Eastern European version of it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, she also
did. It's a very Hot Topic naming convention.
Yes.
To do.
Yeah.
And she did. She ended up having a music career after the show.
Okay.
So that's, and yes, she was in Final Destination 3. And then,
she got decapitated at a Home Depot.
She's from New West. She's from right by where we
are. Right near us. Yeah. Okay.
Because I guess her name is Alexandra. Spelt like Alexzandra.
Okay.
And so then when she shortened it, she kept the Z.
All right, fair enough.
Very odd. Anyway, I feel like that's the most Canadian thing we've ever said on the show. We said in unison, she kept the Zed. And I think people are probably listening like, oh God. Okay.
Zed,
well,
is still new to me.
Hey, it's okay. It's, yeah, all, you know, it's just,
I say Z like 50% of the, like when I'm here, I'll say Zed. And then when I'm on the Twitch stream with Jesse,
you say Z?
I'll say Z.
I'm a pretty staunch Zed guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say Zed.
You're a proud Canadian.
Yeah. That's what it is. I salute every time I say it. I try to find the nearest flag and I look at it. Well, let's get to the raccoons on ice. So this is, as we said, the second of the raccoons' four animated specials, originally aired December 20th, 1981. I'll just give a general sort of plot summary, and then we can dig into the finer points of the episode. So as it's the name indicates, the show features the eponymous raccoons, Bert, Melissa, and Ralph. Ralph and Melissa are a married couple, and Bert lives with them. He's just their roommate.
It's like a you, me, and Dupree situation.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is like
that was a question that I had. I was like, are they related?
No. They're having steamy three ways, I think, is what we're meant to believe. There's no other solution. And so they are sort of the protagonists. And then the antagonists are a family of aardvarks led by Cyril Sneer. He is the sort of
it's a great angry, bad guy name.
Great bad guy name. He's sort of the angry. He's like the Mr. Slate from the Flintstones. He's like your stereotypically very angry boss who runs factories, doesn't care about the environment.
Yeah.
And so basically his scheme is to build a giant stadium on top of the lake that the raccoons usually play hockey on. This is like, I guess, a money-making scheme for him. So he wants to build the Cyril Dome on top of the lake.
Can I just say, maybe not the best place to build a huge building.
Correct.
Is on a body of water.
We'll get to that. Yes, okay. We'll get to that. So he wants to build the Cyril Dome, and he agrees to play the raccoons in a hockey game for control of the lake and the ability to build a stadium on it. So the raccoons face off against a team of bears that Cyril Sneer has trained to play hockey.
But the bears are also like businessmen that he works with.
No, those are the dogs.
Oh, those were the dogs.
Dogs are businessmen. Oh, okay. Yeah. Bears are hockey players.
It was kind,
dogs
of, it was kind of blurry. So
well,
they
it was
looked
smoky because they're all smoking cigars.
That's right.
They're
just
and then, of course, as is predictable for this, the raccoons defeat Cyril Sneer, and they're able to keep the lake for their forest.
Like very much the last minute, though. They were really. I kept being like, "Wow, they have like 90 seconds to turn this around." But
yeah,
they did,
because they did actually have like the clock going in like the bottom right corner too, which was nice of them.
Yeah.
That I enjoyed it. I got up like early this morning. I got up at like 7:30 this morning, had some coffee, sat on the couch and watched Sunday morning weekend cartoons. So it was like, it was kind of like a pleasant experience just sitting there and watching it. And I had never seen that special before.
Oh, you hadn't seen the hockey one?
No, I think I'd seen one of the other specials, and I've seen like episodes of the show as well. But yeah, I mean, I liked it. It's pretty straightforward. I think it's got a good message for kids too. But yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, you know, you can't like look too much into like the logical side of this cartoon.
Sure.
But there's a lot of stuff that does not track at all.
Jamie, what were some of your initial, well, you said you had a lot of questions for us.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions about this, which the one of the big ones for me was, how could an aardvark can be a land developer, but the humans wouldn't, like, they keep at the end, they were like, oh well, the humans never knew that an aardvark almost dropped a fucking stadium on their lake. And it's like, how could he do that? Can the aardvarks talk to people?
Well, so I think, and I was reading this on the Wikipedia, by season two of the show, they just like dropped the humans entirely. And then
that makes more sense.
And just had like a world of like animals that had replaced humans, basically.
Yeah.
Because I think they kind of realized like, oh, this is too difficult to keep up.
So for context, so at the start of the episode, we meet these two kids essentially, and we meet Ranger Dan.
That's their dad.
And then Ranger Dan offers
Ranger
them
Dan
some,
is a good looking guy.
He was.
Absolutely. Hot dad for sure.
Yeah.
So he invites the kids in for hot chocolate, and they're with the dog, Schaefer.
The big sheepdog.
Yeah, the big sheepdog. He's not interested in the hot chocolate, so he goes off, and then that's
That was interesting, too. Like, well, let's go inside and have some hot chocolate. The dog is going to run away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
They're like, oh, just come back later.
Yeah.
Just come back later.
So Schaefer kind of kickstarts the story because he meets a few of the characters that end up being integral to the story. And then we don't see the humans again until, as Jamie said, the very end, where they notice that the lake where the hockey game took place is all marked up. And
they're like,
whoa, it looks like people were really skating on here pretty intensely. And then that's when the voiceover clicks in.
The voiceover by Rich Little.
Yeah, by Rich Little, yeah. Comedian, yeah. The man of a thousand voices. Yeah, Rich Little.
But, like, that's the thing, right? Like, yeah, he says, like, they don't know how close they came to losing their lake or whatever. So, first of all, obviously, I guess the idea was that you wouldn't have to maintain the rink because the lake...
But then in the summer, the stadium would fall into the lake. There's a lot of
issues with it, obviously.
Yeah.
Totally insane. Ignoring that, what if he did win and then did build this huge building and then the humans, like, they're going to see it.
Yeah.
Like, and they're going to see this aardvark smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
And also, he's not an aardvark. He's like a pink alien thing. I don't think that's what aardvarks look like.
I was trying to play it cool, but I didn't know what they were supposed to be the whole time. I was like, what the fuck are these? And that's why I was like, maybe they can talk to humans because they're just like these humanoid creatures that smoke. Yeah.
Oh, actually, I'm looking.
And build things.
The aardvark actually sort of.
It's kind of pinkish, they're sort of like, they look like a cross between like Gonzo and Miss Piggy almost. They're like, they've got Gonzo noses. There's one scene where they really, where Cyril gets in Cedric's face. So Cedric is Cyril's son, and he's a bit more mild mannered. He's not as angry as his dad, and he ends up playing on the Raccoons team. And there's a scene where they get in each other's face, and Cyril's like snout is like animated just like a dick. He's like right in his son's face. His is bigger than Cedric's because he's an adult, you know, or whatever. It's just fucking
more money.
Yeah, it's just swinging. And I was like, oh my God, this looks so much like a fucking cock. I just couldn't get over it.
That was a little weird. Yeah. Yeah. And then also that Cedric is wearing a New York. Cedric's wearing the New York Islanders jersey for some reason.
Yeah. Why?
I
felt represented as an American.
Yeah, I think because it was in 1981, so the Islanders were like the best team.
Yeah,
so
that's the only thing we could think of because it doesn't really make sense. And you would assume they would have had to license the jersey, maybe.
Yeah, and why wouldn't they do like the Leafs or the Habs or something as a Canadian team? Show. But maybe the creator was an Islanders fan too, possibly. Yeah.
Very perplexing.
But that, and then so also the guy doing the commentary during the actual game was Danny Gallivan, who was like the big Hockey Night in Canada guy.
Yeah, one of the most famous hockey commentators. Yeah, he was the Canadians. He was the Canadians' home commentator, and then he also did Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah,
big guy.
So that was a nice
nice touch. Yeah. I also liked that his name in the show was Ferlin Field Digger.
Oh, because
I think he was a badger, or a mole or something like that. Yeah.
Jamie, what other questions did you have? Because obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Let me get my list of questions back up. So here's another question. Why was the game at midnight?
Great question.
They played a hockey game at midnight and they broadcast it, but I don't know where.
I guess it was some animal TV channel. And then maybe the idea is they do it at midnight to avoid the humans because the humans would be asleep.
Right.
Possibly.
But I also like that they built a full hockey rink on the lake as well.
Yes.
So presumably the humans, their cabin is right beside the lake. Presumably they would have heard these boards being constructed, the scoreboard, the buzzers going off, the refs blowing the whistle,
these animals cheering.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one play in particular during the game where I was like, is there just like no ref at all? And it was on the third goal by the Bears, where one of the Bears just tackled the goalie out of the way. And I mean, I know this is like 1980s hockey.
As well.
Yeah, this is 80s hockey, so it's a bit rough and tumble. But I feel like even in the 80s, they probably would have called that.
Yeah, that would have been a penalty.
And the dog, okay, and this is maybe, you know, not a sticking point, but all the other animals were wearing like pads and stuff. And the dog was just like a dog.
He just was carrying a goalie stick.
Yeah.
And then was, other than
just
that,
just getting wailed on with these pucks. Yeah. Like, yeah.
He's also supposed to come home at night, not to like get in the weeds, but he's supposed to come home at night. And he said he'd be back at night. And he was playing hockey at 1 a.m.
Yeah. Because he's lying to his owners for sure.
Yeah. He's, yeah. So he's kind of a bad dog also. I had, and then I just, I mean, I was just, this isn't a question, but I was just really taken in by Cedric's journey. I thought it was very sad.
Yes.
He like lives in a dungeon.
Yeah, his dad's in a castle.
Castle?
Yeah, this is a very common theme in the show. So Cedric is kind of like a nerdy. He wears like sort of bottle cap glasses.
Yeah, he took
Coke bottle glasses.
He took his glasses off at one point, and he has the Milhouse Van Houten eyes.
Yes, the tiny just the black dot eyes. Yeah. And but that's sort of the theme.
I thought it was going to be like she's all that, and he'd be like sexy under there, but it wasn't at all.
So that was a real. That's a theme of a lot of the episodes, especially once you get into the actual like animated show. A lot of the episodes revolve around Cyril is like flabbergasted that, for lack of a better word, his son is just like a pussy. That's basically kind of a lot of it. Like it's just like Cyril gets very weird. There's a lot of episodes where it gets. That's the only reason I use that word is because that's the way they were playing it. Like Cedric has glasses. Whoa. He wears scarves.
He's a smart guy.
He's just a smart guy. He's like a real wimp. Just
but he's good at hockey and he has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like how bad is his situation really? And also, I mean, that was like my favorite, like, I mean, there's like a lot of fun 80s cartoon conventions at play, like giving animals titties for no reason.
yes.
Love. It was, what was it? Melissa Raccoon. I was like, good for her. And then Sophia Tutu is like hot but an aardvark and like in love with the like
the biggest loser
immediately. She's like, I love that was
how
the part
he snores.
Yeah, there were no parts of it. Like usually the journey for those characters would be like he's in love with her and she has no time for
she
him.
Was immediately
she's
in
like
love
a
with
hot
him.
Figure skater, but she's like, nope, this guy's my shit.
She
had like such a wildly sexual energy for no reason that like at first when because the dog meets her first and I was like, is she gonna have sex with this dog? Like what is I thought she was going to be the dog's girlfriend, but then the next person she met was actually who she was in love with.
She was very flirtatious with kind of every character.
Yes.
Yeah. And then just like sort of encouraged them and brought them hot chocolate for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
And her name is Sophia Tutu, which just is all right. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, tutu, like what a girl would wear. I think is what they were going
to Well, because she wears a tutu in the show.
Yeah.
I will say my one thing about Sophia that I really loved was when Cyril first beats her and his way of making fun of her is like calling her sofa. Like that's how he's like really digging at like her name's Sophia. And he's like, who's this sofa girl? You know? And then she's like, oh, my name is Sophia Tutu or whatever. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Sofa Lounge Davenport.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good slam.
Really good slam. Yeah, I loved it.
Got her ass.
The thing with Cyril, and I never watched the show and got to this point, but we were looking at the Wikipedia, and Cyril, I think, eventually becomes like
good.
He becomes good. They describe it as he becomes like an anti-hero. Wow. So I think he becomes almost more of like an eco-terrorist and realizes the errors of his ways, and then like is still sort of like bad, but he's like using his powers of bad to like save the forest and stuff.
I think they ran because I think what happened is they ran out of ideas for Cyril. So I think they realize he becomes popular.
Yeah.
So kids are starting to like him. So they're like, okay, well maybe we've got to turn him a little bit more.
So
in our
don't
direction,
think the corporate guy is good.
Yeah. And then, and then they invent a new villain in the later series called Milton Midas. And then he becomes the new like bad guy that Cyril kind of like fights against, and they have like fights over contracts and stuff too. So Cyril will be kind of like, we can't let Milton Midas take over the forest, you know, or whatever.
Well, what was the second last episode? Like, can you this is maybe like you described the conceit of this episode.
Oh,
to me.
Oh yeah, this one's mm-hmm. rough.
It's so really depressing.
So they did 60 total episodes. So they were 12 episode seasons. So this is episode number 59, wow. The one that got away. In the show's most touching but still funny episode, the pigs need cash, something they simply can't get from the boss.
Oh yeah,
so there's, yeah, in the later episodes, it's not dogs, it's pigs that are his like associates.
Yeah, there's three little pigs. Okay. I think are sort of one of the characters.
Something like that.
I do like that.
And of course, they need cash.
In the most touching episode, the pigs need cash.
Yeah, the pigs need cash, something they simply can't get from the boss. The answer. Moonlight for Milton Midas, dump some odd drums in the gorge and all of your money troubles are gone. That is, if the drums weren't to land in a river that empties into the forest's waterhole. But this is no ordinary waterhole. It is part of Cyril's new ad campaign. It's Burton Cedric's fishing hole, as well as home to the largest catfish in the forest. And then it says in the episode description, note. This is the only episode with an unhappy ending, with the characters sadly acknowledging that the waterhole will remain contaminated for some generations to come.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then they had to stick the landing in the next episode?
Yeah, what happens in episode 60?
Episode 60, in the extended series finale, Cyril Sneer retires and Cedric takes over the family business.
Okay.
Robin Steele, a sleazy con artist, soon convinces him to organize a bogus race. Bert and Lisa soon join in the race to help out Cedric.
Okay. What?
Okay. This doesn't sound like a happy ending at all.
The second last episode is the forest is ruined forever.
Yeah.
And then the last episode is let's have a race.
Cedric's in charge. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like this episode where Cyril comes down to the lake and he says to the three raccoons playing on hockey on the lake, "I'm gonna build a stadium on your lake." And then they're like, "You can't do that." And then he's like, "Well, don't let it be said I'm not a fair man. I'll let you play hockey for the lake." And then they're like, "Okay." And then that's how the game gets set up.
Yeah.
Which is like, if he was rich and powerful and wanted to build it, he would just build it. He doesn't need
he
to
would
like
just do it.
Yeah. But that's where there's a little sliver of good in him, I think, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. So.
And so I guess that's
foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of just the plot of that episode as well. It's like Robin Steele comes in and is like, "I'm going to take over the forest." And Cedric's like, "How about we have a race?"
God, I love it. I mean,
I'm going to watch the one that got away if it's around anywhere, because that I feel like the fact that on the Wikipedia page they feel the need to say most touching but still funny, it yes. means that it couldn't possibly be fun.
It was hilarious.
I wonder if the catfish dies. I feel like that's the implication,
like from the pond.
Yeah,
yeah, could
from
be.
All the poison or whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this was good. One thing I really like about the raccoons in general, and this goes throughout the whole series, is that the soundtrack is just soft jazz.
It's great.
It's so funny.
I loved
it's like
it.
This, it's like supposed to be this cartoon geared at kids. And then it's just like out of nowhere, it'll be like Careless Whisper starts playing.
Well, who were two of the voices, right? It was.
So the voices are Leo Sayer, who was a pretty famous singer. He had a career that spanned he's still alive, but he had a career that spanned four decades. His first seven hit singles in the United Kingdom all reached the top 10. And he also has had his songs sung by Roger Daltrey, Three Dog Night, and Cliff Richard.
Okay.
His first single went to number 2 on the UK singles chart, and his debut album, peaked at number 4. So he's like a pretty big, pretty big guy.
And then Melissa Raccoon, I think,
was Lisa Coolidge.
Okay.
Rita Coolidge. And Rita Coolidge was also a pretty big adult contemporary artist. She was married to Kris Kristofferson, and she won 2 Grammys with him. They did Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher.
That's a big song.
Melissa
Raccoon. Yep.
Wow.
Also,
no wonder she had such great tits.
We're All Alone, I'd Rather Leave While I'm in Love. And she also sang the theme song for the 1983 James Bond film Octopussy.
Wow. Oh my God.
So
that's Melissa.
Good for her.
Melissa Raccoon. Wow.
Yeah, so Melissa Raccoon, pretty big. So I don't quite know exactly how they landed these people.
But you're saying there was an LP for
the
special.
Well, yeah.
Right?
So one thing I really learned is like if you Google raccoons on ice, the result that comes up first is the accompanying LP to this special. And then the episode comes after. So it seems like they kind of made this cartoon as a way to sell jazz.
It was Canada's answer to records. The Chipmunks, maybe.
Yeah, kind of. Like it is a weird. So that's like a weird vibe to me that permeates all of the episode. Is like the song choices just seem bizarre for a kid's.
I love
ostensibly
it.
A kid's cartoon.
It was great.
Yeah, the songs were good
and very sudden.
Yes,
yeah, like the song my favorite song was Sophia Tutu's song where she falls in love with what's his name, with Cedric instantly. I thought that was really beautiful. And then you got those classic like cartoon I'm gonna fuck that aardvark eyes from Cedric, which was nice.
Yeah, I think too, like one thing I also really liked is if you notice the one song that they play at the start of the hockey game, or like when they start to come back in the hockey game, is written for the show.
Yes.
Like they specifically, like, cause the lyrics are like referencing the raccoons and they're referencing the hockey game. Like it is specifically for them so it is written specifically for this show, which kind of blew me away. I sort of thought it was just like, they took some of their hits and they're like, oh, we'll throw them in this cartoon.
No, it's original. Like, no, we're
this is a labor of love.
Yeah. I loved that part.
That was great.
It.
Yeah.
What else do we have on here? I just have this line really cracked me up when Cyril was training his bears. Cause he was like, I'm going to get that team of bears that's going to crush these raccoons. And then he's like, get me this bear, get me that bear. And then he said, order 10 dozen new super sticks. I was like, I don't know what those are. I don't know what that means, but
I mean, the bears were good at hockey.
The bears were good. And the training montage was really funny.
Yes. I did like the training montage. Yeah.
And that part, well, that's really, I think, where the jazz really got me, because it was like, they show, so he's like, Cyril's all mad. And then they cut to this training montage and he's got this like puck shooting machine that's like firing the pucks at the goalie. The bears are like crushing body checks, you know, and then the background just like, and it's like, this is not, you know, you'd expect it to be like, like something really heavy and evil.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
no,
jazz.
These bears are fucking playing.
It was great.
Elevated it. My favorite, the most Canadian line that stuck out to me in this special was when Sophia Tutu tells Cedric that his heart is as cold and as hard as a hockey puck. And he loses it. It's the most hurtful thing she could have said.
Because
he knows how cold and hard a hockey puck could be, because he lives in Canada.
Yeah, that's true. That would cut me deep if a girl told me that.
I was looking at the Wikipedia, and I guess they added new characters throughout the run of the show. And there was a character named Lisa who was like this athletic aardvark. Oh, she was a raccoon.
Lisa's
as well.
A raccoon.
She's a raccoon.
She becomes the love interest for Bert.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I just really like these two sentences here. In 1990, Bert and Lisa, first of all, it's very funny that it's Bert and Lisa, very close, obviously, to Bart and Lisa. In 1990, Bert and Lisa were named the mascots of the Canadian Olympic team. There were no Olympic Games that year. All right. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We're not doing the Olympics, but you guys are the mascots.
You guys are the mascots. Thank you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to start making similar claims.
I'm the mascot. So I'm
it's
the mascot.
It's not happening this year, though.
Yeah, it's not happening, but I am the mascot. Yeah, I like that. I did love the other thing. So we kind of didn't. So in the hockey game, the raccoons go down early. They
three
go down
nothing.
3-0.
Yeah.
And then
Bert gets hurt as well.
Bert gets hurt. He gets slashed on the hand and he's sitting out. So that's when Sophia gives her big speech to try to get Cedric to play for the team. And I agree, Jamie, there is a bit of sexual tension. It's almost like she's like, if you want to fuck me after this game, you're going to get out there and you're going to play for the raccoons. Like, I am not.
And that's kind of the only thing he responds. Like, Cedric, he was bumming me out, man. I was like, I guess that he is like nepotism to this land developer, but he was only responsive to like when it seemed like Sophia wasn't going to give him a little kiss. He like was a coward. He kept bailing on everybody the second his dad showed up, because he was like, I mean, understandably afraid of his dad. I was trying to put myself in Cedric's position, but he's such a baby. He's in his dungeon all the time, like fucking Rapunzel. And then Sophia Tutu comes up. She's like, I'll give you a little kiss if you play the big game. And he's like, okay, I'll play the big game. But then he gets there. He's like, I'll only play the big game in disguise. I was like, what a fucking coward. And then he does play the game in disguise, but fucks up right away. And then his dad's like, stop playing the game. And he says, okay. And then he still gets a girlfriend at the end. I thought he really fumbled at so many different points.
He did.
Only because he was terrified of his father. Bert, and that is sad.
Bert scores the game winner at the end, right?
Yeah, with hurt hand.
Yes.
1 second left on the clock.
Yeah.
And like flips over the goalie to score it.
Yeah.
I would go to one hockey game a year when I was younger. I didn't like going to hockey games because they were cold.
yeah, fair enough.
But, that's fair.
But my dad would make us go with him once a year and watch a Bruins game. And I used to understand the rules, but would that last goal that Bert got, is that like a legit?
Yeah.
Goal? Yeah, it would have been a legit goal. Rules.
As long as it goes off his stick and it wasn't, because it looked like when he was kind of, so what happens is that the puck gets chipped into, first of all, the dimensions of the rink are completely insane to me, but it gets chipped. It's like the widest rink in the world at some point. I mean, it's a cartoon, whatever. The puck gets chipped into the offensive zone and it's like chipped with such a weight that the goalie can like come out to get it.
Yes.
To like clear it away from Bert, who's going to have a breakaway otherwise. And they kind of both get there at the same time. And I think Bert gets a stick on it and like chips it over the goalie and also flips over the goalie. And and is like rolling towards the net, and I thought he was going to like punch the puck into the net at one point. In which case, it wouldn't have counted.
That wouldn't have counted.
But then it probably would have.
Right, you can't touch the puck.
Given the rules we've seen and the non calls we've seen in this game so far, very dirty game.
They might have just let it happen. Yeah.
But yeah, he wins with 1 second left. Well, not even one. I guess the time expires, and they're like, we're not even going to take the, I mean, in the NHL, they would still take the face off with like 0.2 seconds left,
right.
Pointless face off. But, it was an exciting game.
Well, and it was funny to me because you would think, going back to the rules thing, you'd think once the Bears figured out the ref wasn't going to give them a penalty for body checking the goalie, they would just keep doing it and score like 40 goals.
Yes.
Oh, the refs don't care. Body check the goalie.
The Bears could have like killed the other animal. Yeah. Like they could have.
These are Bears versus raccoons. I mean, realistically.
Yeah. On live television somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I did love the, speaking of the television aspect, I like when Cedric comes out in disguise. The commentator just keeps referring to him as the mystery player.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the mystery player scored 3 goals. He looks unbelievable. It's like, wouldn't you say something other than that? Like, it's kind of similar to the Mighty Ducks in D2 in the final when Russ Tyler, who can do the knuckle puck, comes out as the goalie. Like they call a timeout and then they come out of the timeout and he's dressed in goalie equipment and they pass the puck back to him and then he takes his goalie mask off and they hand him a stick and then the Iceland coach is like, the goalie is the shooter. And it's like, there's no world where you wouldn't see this guy changing into goalie equipment on the bench.
Yeah.
The benches are beside each other. You'd be like, oh shit, they're putting Russ Tyler in net. Like,
it's just a weird move.
Yeah,
I guess we'll keep an eye on those. Yeah.
hockey movies are so fun. Like, their hockey drama is so inherently silly to look at. Like, it doesn't quite play most of the time. Except in, have you guys seen MVP Most Valuable Primate?
Yes. A classic.
Yeah. That, I mean, everything plays in that movie. But yeah, I love a good hockey mix up because there's so much equipment you can technically hide. But Cedric should have like stood up to his father, right? Like, but he just—I don't know.
He's a coward.
The fact that he's such a fucking coward. His dad's blowing cigar smoke in his face, waving his dick nose around, and Cedric just doesn't say a damn thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I know we're suspending our disbelief here too, but I do want to know, like, what does the forest ranger think is going on in the huge castle in the forest that he's responsible for?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just the castle.
Yeah.
It's just a big castle.
This is square.
I don't think, whatever, something goes on over there, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I saw an aardvark wandering in there.
Cedric was talking about how his dad had previously brought people to the dungeon too.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, because that's because Cyril threatens him, because there's a scene where the raccoons are trying to convince Cedric to play on their team. So they break into the castle at night.
Yes.
And then they get into Cedric's room, and then Cyril hears them. The raccoons are able to hide. Pardon me, but Cyril breaks into this room and he's like, "What's going on in here?" And Cedric's like, "Nothing. I'm just trying to sleep." And then he's like, "If you wake me up again, I'm sending you to the dungeon." And you're like, "What? What? Right. That's what you do to your kid? Why do you have a dungeon, first of all? Second of all."
Also, that castle's huge. Why do you sleep so close by?
Yeah, totally. And also, you'd think, like, Cedric is also just very chill about this. Like, yeah. He's just like, "Well, if I play, my dad's going to send me to the dungeon.
But all my stuff is down there."
So. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Truly a wild
now,
time.
You have a real or fake?
I have a real or fake game, because as you can tell from the Wikipedia descriptions of the episodes, these are the regular show, the series.
Yeah.
You can tell it's like a little bit unhinged. Uh-huh. So, Stefan, I was reading you some of the episode descriptions earlier, and you're like, "Oh, it's too bad we didn't have time for a real or fake." But then our episode ended early.
Yes.
And so I did have time to put together a little real or fake here. So we're going to play some real or fake with episode descriptions of the raccoons.
Okay.
So you just tell me if you think that these are real episodes of the series or fake.
Okay.
I think I've got like seven here. Okay, so here we go. Okay. First one. A big-time baseball team known as the Mammoth Mudhens are arriving in the forest and are looking for someone to join their game. This causes the friendship between Bert Raccoon and Cedric Sneer to shatter as the two compete against each other to get the contract.
That's real.
It has to be real. Yeah, because it seems like this show loves contractual drama and big games.
Yes, that one's real.
Okay.
That's real. So that's 1-1. Okay, here we go. Number two. Cedric and Sophia overhear that the king and queen are arriving to the Evergreen Forest, which intrigues Bert to become a knight. Meanwhile, Cyril wants to become a knight as well, but only to be knighted as ruler of the Evergreen Forest.
I'm going to say that's real because it's written in that weird way where it's like clear that one guy has written this entire Wikipedia summary for all the episodes. And he's like, someone is intrigued to become a knight. You would never say that, John. So okay. I'm going to say that's real.
Okay. Jamie?
Oh, that's very strong reasoning. I'm going to say it's fake just because.
Hey, it's real. That is
it's
a real,
real
one. Yeah.
Wow.
So Stefan is up 2-1.
So the forest is a monarchy.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Number three. Cyril Sneer tempts Bert to become his new spokesperson for his new line of cologne.
Oh, that's such a short description, but it also... I'm going to say that's real.
Jamie?
I'll say real too.
That's real.
That's real. Oh, I want to watch that one. That's good.
That's a whole episode. Yeah.
I want to know what the cologne is called.
It didn't say. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. When local dirt bike champ Bix Wheelie comes to town, Bert is fascinated by his antics, while Cedric usually takes the blame for Bix's actions.
Oh my God. I'm going to say real again.
I'll say fake for that one.
That one's real as well.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait, what was his name again?
Bix Wheelie.
Bix Wheelie.
That was the closest one that I thought was maybe fake. But
Here we go. Bert and Melissa explore the mysterious Endless Echo Caverns and happen upon some unusual cave paintings. After bidding $50,000 on a small painting, Cyril Sneer learns of the profitability of the art market.
Oh, that seems like, I think that's, because that has a bit of environmental stuff. There's corporate greed in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say real.
That one's real, yeah.
Wait, how many are left?
Two.
Okay.
Two are left.
I think I see what's happening here.
Bert and Cedric go exploring on an island to find a fallen meteorite, but they don't tell anyone where they're going and they get stranded. And soon everyone else is desperately scouring the forest and consulting Lady Baden-Baden's astrology to find them.
I think that's real.
That's real.
Yeah, that one's real. Last one. When Cyril Sneer is taken to the hospital after getting an ulcer, it is up to the pigs to keep track of his big land deal.
Okay. I'm just gonna. They're all. It's real.
I think it's real.
Yeah, they're all real.
The ulcer one. I was thinking. Well, that. I don't know. That could be fake, but. Yeah. Cereal's like that's the an ulcer is like a corporate business bad guy thing to have.
True, you know? But yeah. Also in a kid's cartoon, you're trying to explain what an ulcer
that's true,
is.
Yeah.
That feels
they
like...
give him like Logan Roy medical issues.
Yeah, yeah so pretty good.
I love it.
Yeah, you guys did very well overall. I think Stefan, you won by two, but Jamie, great performance overall.
Thank you.
We get to the Canadian quiz. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on the Raccoons on Ice?
It was good. It was genuinely...
You liked it.
I think it still holds up. I think it was good. Yeah, okay. I enjoyed it.
Jamie?
I really liked it. I kind of wish that I had seen these growing up because I think they would. I think that my family would have been really, really into it. A hockey-based Christmas special, we would have fucking flipped.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
Yeah, I think I loved that too. And I've always been really partial to like hockey episodes of stuff. Like mm-hmm. obviously the Simpsons hockey episode
classic.
I really
yeah.
like. And yeah, there is something about hockey stuff that's very funny to me. I did want to say, we didn't touch on it when we were talking about the show, but the voice acting was maybe not the greatest.
That,
I feel like
maybe
that
the weakest point. Yeah.
That maybe needed a little work. It felt like the script readings were maybe, it was a very much like, hello, Cedric, how are you?
Yeah.
And Cedric was like, guys, I'm pretty good. It was very, it was a little stilted for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I wasn't sure I didn't know if this was like the first episode of this or what. Yeah. It sounded like the voice actors didn't know what their characters looked like.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually good.
Yeah.
Except for Cyril. Like Cyril's kind of the
Cyril
only one who stands
it.
Out where he's like, ah, I'm going to kill
I guess,
you fucking kids.
I guess Bert tried to do it. Bert had a bit of a voice too. Or not Bert, Ralph.
Yeah.
The roommate raccoon.
That's Bert.
Yeah,
Bert had a little bit of a...
Yeah, he had something going on, yeah. But
yeah, the rest were just...
I guess it's because they had done the voice once before for the previous special 1 year ago.
Yeah, so maybe you
just
don't remember.
So it's like,
all right,
we're doing
exactly.
a special again. Do you remember what you did a year ago?
Yeah.
This one time?
No. I also... I liked that Bert got my favorite fictional injury, which is... I cut my hand real bad. It's the best. I love when people cut their hand real bad. I know it happens in real life, but I feel like it happens all the time on TV for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just like, they don't show him getting any medical attention. Like it doesn't seem that
no.
serious,
no.
but then all of a sudden he's sitting out of the game. And the next time they show him, his entire hand is bandaged.
Yes. It's like in a cast. Yeah. And they're like, you can't play, Bert. You cut your hand so bad. I can still play. I love a hand cut.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, very true. Very true. It reminds me of like, it felt very much like you were saying, Stefan, about the year apart. Like it kind of felt like James Lipton would have had them on inside the actor's studio. And he's like, is Bert Raccoon in there? Can I talk to Bert Raccoon? And then it's just the guy's voice. It's just doing the same voice he's been doing the whole interview for 40 minutes. Hey, this is Bert Raccoon. And everyone in the crowd's like, oh, yeah, we love Bert. Great times. Well,
I'm ready for the quiz.
You're ready for the quiz.
Yeah.
So Jamie, you just get to answer the questions straight up. Stefan will answer them on his phone so that I know that he's not stealing your answer. I don't know why he necessarily would do that. But this is the Canadian trivia portion of the show. So you're going to get asked 6 questions about Canada, 2 easy, 2 medium, 2 hard. The easy questions are worth 1 point each. The medium questions are worth 2 and the hard are worth 3. And Stefan has gotten perfect a couple times before, 12 out of 12. But the highest guest, the highest guest total is 4. So
that was from,
Derek. Yeah, that was from Derek. So Derek is currently leading the way at 4 points out of 12. So we'll see if he can be passed here, Jamie.
And but he lived up in Canada for a bit too.
True.
So that helped.
So the idea behind the questions is easy questions are questions I think anybody could get. Medium is like wouldn't be hard for a Canadian, but might be hard for someone who doesn't live here. And then hard are meant to be also difficult for Stefan. So that's sort of what I go for with the sort of questions. So here we go.
This game like is Stefan is the golden standard of Canadians.
Yes.
It's great.
Is Stefan, it's just like win Ben yeah. Stein's money. And yeah. Stefan is Ben Stein. Yeah. So here we go. So these are the easy questions. This is question number one for 1 point. These episodes are filled with a bunch of anthropomorphic animals, including raccoons and aardvarks. What is Canada's national animal? So Stefan will write that down okay. first, and then once he's locked in, you can give us your answer, Jamie.
I am locked in.
Okay, Jamie?
Okay. I hope this isn't offensive to Canadians. Is it a moose?
Beaver?
It is the beaver. Yep.
I was like 50-50 on that.
Yeah,
honestly.
You were very close with moose.
Because I was thinking moose, I was thinking loon, because we have so many fucking animals
on our
money.
Yeah.
But it is the beaver.
But the beaver is officially Canada's national animal. Good try, though, Jamie. You
wow.
were not far
That was a good
off.
Guess.
Yeah, good guess. Not offensive.
Thank you.
Okay.
Honestly, less offensive than beaver, I think.
Yes.
I would much rather have the moose.
Yeah,
so cool.
I would not have gotten beaver.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of beavers? I don't think this is new information.
We do.
Yeah, we have a lot
but
of
But I consider the moose to be more Canadian, to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So maybe that question was harder than I thought. Okay, here we go. Question number two. This the raccoon show aired on the CBC. What does CBC stand for?
Is it Canadian Broadcasting Company Corporation, something like that?
Yes, corporation. Yeah, you got it. And Stefan got it as well. Very nice, Jamie. So you have 1 point.
That's where they showed Degrassi. I knew that.
You got it. You got it. Okay, so you've got one. Stefan has two. All right, so here we go. These are the medium questions. They're worth 2 points each. Canada is currently in the midst of a World Cup qualifying campaign. How many times in history has Canada played in the World Cup? This is of soccer.
Okay, that was the follow-up question I had. Is it one?
It is one.
Wow.
It is one. Jamie.
Okay.
1984, one time they played in the World Cup. Very impressive. So, Jamie, you got three. If you get just even one more question right, you will be our new leader.
All the blood is like at the surface of my skin.
Okay, so this is the second medium question. Question number four. Which 2002 film is the highest grossing Canadian movie of all time, earning almost $250 million at the box office? And I will give you a hint. It was also the highest grossing rom-com of all time until 2016.
I got it.
So I can read that again. Which 2002 film is the highest grossing Canadian movie of all time, earning almost $250 million at the box office, and it was also the highest grossing rom-com of all time until 2016?
I feel like I know the answer, but I didn't think it was filmed in Canada.
Well, then you can take a
I'll
guess.
I'll guess, though. Yep. Was it My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
It is My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Wait, really?
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because Nia Vardalos is Canadian.
Nia Vardalos is Canadian, and they shot it all in Canada.
She
is? Yeah, it's technically a Canadian movie.
Hey, you're number one.
You're number
I
one
did
already.
Not know that.
5 points.
I'm Canadian.
You are Canadian,
That's
Jamie.
So
you did
exciting.
It. So this is the final question, and it's a little bit different. So normally for the hard question, I do two questions worth 3 points each, but this is one question worth six.
Oh.
So there's going to be three answers in this section, and they're all worth 2 points.
Okay.
So this show, the raccoons, obviously about animals. After the English lion, what are the other three animals that appear on Canadian provincial flags?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so after the English lion, what are the three animals that appear on Canadian provincial flags? So worth 2 points each year.
Man, you might win the whole thing. I'm guessing. I've got... Oh, wait a second.
I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen a provincial flag in my life.
Okay, I think I have two of them. Maybe.
You wouldn't put a moose on a flag, would you?
Okay, so Stefan's locked in. Jamie, is moose one of your guesses?
Yeah, I'm going to guess moose twice and be wrong about moose twice.
You are wrong about moose twice. Fuck. Yes, there's no moose on a
That's
provincial
actually
flag.
Good. I feel like it would be kind of embarrassing to have a moose on your flag.
Stefan also guessed moose, so he got that wrong.
You said loon earlier, and I remembered that, so I'll guess loon also.
There is
not a loon on your flag.
There is not a loon on any of the provincial flags. Nope.
One more guess.
Stefan, can I see your guesses again?
Yeah.
I don't want to guess beaver because I don't want there to be a beaver on your flag. I'm going to, what is another, is it like a Canadian animal or is it just an animal?
So I would say the one is considered a North American animal, but certainly was very important to like early Canadians. And then two others, I wouldn't say are uniquely Canadian, but again, makes sense given the territories that they represent. It's actually two of them are on territorial flags.
Oh, fuck.
This is hard. Fuck.
Stefan got zero on this.
Yeah.
Stefan got none of them right. Stefan guessed beaver, moose, and eagle. So you could actually beat Stefan here.
Don't tell her the end because then she won't guess.
She's not going to guess eagle. That was the worst guess I've ever seen.
Eagles are a Canadian. They could be on a. I could see Alberta having an eagle on there.
No.
You guys got no, eagles. No. We're going to need those back.
Yeah.
I'll guess. Oh, shit. There's a lion. What is lion adjacent? Is it just like a bear?
Oh, good guess.
That was my fourth guess.
It is not a bear.
There's no like polar bear on it?
No. Not a bear.
I have no idea.
Really?
So on the Manitoba flag, there is a bison.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Is there a fish on one of them, like a salmon?
Nope.
No?
On the Northwest Territories flag, there is a wolf.
Oh, yeah.
And on the Yukon flag, there's an Arctic fox.
That's right. Okay.
So I would have just accepted wolf, fox, and then bison.
I think the only one that I could have gotten there was probably the bison. But I wasn't even thinking about the fox. The Arctic fox. Wow.
The Arctic fox.
That was a tough question.
Those all sound great.
Yeah. So I only won by 1 point.
You won by one, yeah.
Oh, my God. Jamie, yeah. I mean.
Incredible performance,
Jamie. Nice job.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
I'm going to move.
Sorry, it's actually not even an Arctic fox. It is a Malamute sled dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whoa,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, okay. So I wasn't sure. I couldn't really tell from the picture.
It looks like a fox or a dog.
But yeah, it's a Malamute. Yeah.
Wow.
So it is a Malamute sled dog. And then, yeah, and then the
I had
Northwest
wolf,
Territories has the wolf.
I put beaver instead of wolf. I had wolf. And then, but, oh, well.
You were so close.
We have a bear on our flag, I guess, in California.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a pretty
good.
Maybe
that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. But yeah. Well, that's a good question. That was tough.
Thank you. Hey, look. Oh, and apparently, geez, I'm getting it all wrong. It was a fox on the Northwest Territories one.
Okay, so there was
So that's
fox.
The Arctic fox.
Okay, yes.
It's on the Northwest Territories, okay. And then the Malamute, and then the bison.
Wow.
So there you go. Very well done, Jamie. Incredible performance. 7 points. Truly one of our best. Or sorry, 5 points. 5 points. Yep.
My recent rewatch of My Big Fat Greek Wedding and reading the Wikipedia page is who I would like to thank for this game.
Yeah, so Jamie with a five total points. Stefan, you had
six.
You had six.
Yeah.
So very well done, Jamie. Incredible. Thank you so much for being on the show and joining us. It was, like I said off the top, always a pleasure to have you here on Block Party. Before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, you can listen to the Bechdel cast or any of my podcasts. I'm working on something about hot dogs, but it won't be out for a year and a half. So.
Oh gosh, a year and a half.
Okay.
Awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love following along with your hot dog summer. That was very nice. And I loved the ACK cast. So that was really fun. Yeah.
Wait, real question. Do you guys have, is there like a Canadian hot dog situation?
Oh, I don't think we really have like a hot dog we're known for.
I will
do
say
we?
I'm going to the Canucks game tonight, yeah. And they do have they have stand steamers.
Yeah, they have a good hot dog stand there. But I think Jamie's, you're asking sort of if we have like a
national. I don't sort think of like we do. I would say so. The two things. So at the Canucks games, they have hot dogs with pierogies on them.
That's a signature hot dog. Okay.
But in Vancouver specifically,
yeah, this is a big one.
Japa dog, which is a very well-known fusion Japanese hot dog place, and it's incredible. It's hot dogs with Japanese ingredients.
Yeah, so
good.
It's their signature Japa dog is it's like a Kobe beef hot dog with teriyaki mayo and and seaweed on the top. And that's their sort of
sounds great.
That's their signature. That's their signature. And yeah, they're extremely well known. Like lots of celebrities roll through and take pics getting a Japa dog. It started just as like a cart.
Yeah.
And now
it's like multiple trucks, multiple locations, I think.
Yeah, they have a couple brick and mortars. And it's a big deal now.
Check out Japa Dog.
That was in Canada. Yeah, because I've heard good things about Japa Dog. Maybe I'll have to come see you guys. I don't know.
Yeah, come hang anytime in Vancouver. And I mean, you know, you could come up here and maybe, you know, do a show with us or do stand up here. I mean, there's the possibilities are endless.
And we'll get Japa Dogs.
Japa Dogs. It's very easy to do entertainment in our country. The United States very much does not want Canadian entertainers in their country, but Canada very much wants American entertainers in its country. So yeah, come visit us anytime. Okay. We'd love to hang out and we'll get Japa Dogs.
We'll get Japa Dogs. Oh, guys, this is so fun. I feel more Canadian than I ever have in this moment.
Beautiful. Hey, that's what we love to hear. Yeah, exactly. That is what we love to hear. So there you go, everybody. Make sure you check out Jamie's podcasts, the Bechdel cast, the Act cast, the Lolita podcast, and My Year in Mensa. You can follow her on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Block Party Pod. Thank you so much. My XLR is blowing it. Thank you very much for donating to the show. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We love you, and we'll see you back here very soon. And get excited for our Blocked Party Live next week. We're returning to Zoom shows Friday, November 19th. Stefan and I are playing Matt Gordon's Family Feud against each other. It's going to be great. Stefan has two idiots on his team, and... we'll see who I'm announcing my team this week. So you'll
I'm
see.
I'm excited.
Who
I don't know who's
team.
On them. So,
well, they're not idiots. I'll just put it way. All right. Anyway, thanks guys for listening. We'll see you back here very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.